Welcome to the Summit Restoration Church podcast, where hope comes alive, lives are restored, and Jesus leads the way. Let's climb higher together.
And when Pastor Angela asked me to preach, it was supposed to have been last weekend. And then things changed, and I was very nervous because of all the other messages I have coming up. And I said, sure, I can do Mother's Day, not realizing that it was Mother's Day. So, anyways, I believe that I have a word that's for every one of y'all. It's not specifically a Mother's Day message. As I was preparing for the women's conference, I had three sermons that I was getting together, and I asked the Lord, what do I need to bring to the mothers at our church? And he said, give them what I gave you. And for those that know me, I have asked probably 100 times, Lord, can I have something easy? Can we talk about grace or something pretty? And he never does that to me, so I apologize in advance. But I took what I'm actually preaching this weekend, and I restructured it around Mother's Day. But I don't want y'all to miss it and think that it's not for you. It actually applies to husbands. It applies to each and every person here, every youth and young adult, every parent, every individual. I believe each of you, if you will lean in, that this word is for each and every one of y'all. So first and foremost, Pastor Angela, Pastor Marty, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to do this. It's something that I know that I don't take lightly. I think she's in the bathroom. Maybe she's hearing me. And so I honor y'all, and I appreciate y'all. So if you will, before we start, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. So, Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to stand here this morning and to deliver your word. Lord, I ask that you would help me, Father, as I deliver it, Lord, that my tongue would be like a pen on a paper, and I would deliver it with such clarity, Father, that each and every person here would understand. Lord, as I lean in and lean against your chest, Father, I ask that you help me not say anything you don't want me to say, but only say what you want me to say. Father, I ask that you would be with each and every person here, and you'd penetrate their hearts to receive the word that you have deposited on the inside of me. And it's your precious name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, so let me just go ahead and, like, clear this up for y'all super quickly so you know where we're going. If your life has been perfect, if everything in your life is hunky-dory and you've never had any issues at all, if trials and tribulations aren't your thing, if your life has been a perfect setup since day one and you've never had to endure a process, a maturing, or a walking through something with the Lord, if your kids have never done anything wrong, if you've always been the perfect parent and you've never worried about, am I doing it right? Or if you've just never had any issues at all, then I want to assure you that this message is not for you. And I apologize, but it'll be a really easy Sunday for y'all, and y'all can just sit there and take notes. However, if you have ever found yourself in the middle, in the mundane, in the disappointments, from day to day, if you've ever found yourself in confusion or in a place of where you're trying to not to quit, try not to quit because you're waiting on the Lord to work something out that he hadn't worked out yet, then I believe that I have an on-time word for each and every one of you. So, let's dig in. If you've got your Bibles, if you will turn with me to Matthew 17, verse 20. It's a very popular scripture. Everyone knows it more than likely. And it says, and he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. So everyone got their mustard seeds in their hands? Y'all see how little the mustard seed is? You don't have to really get it out, but did everybody get one to see how little the mustard seed was? So in thinking about that scripture, because the scripture on the surface says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible. So two questions. One, how many of you heard that scripture before? Three people. Anybody else heard that scripture? Okay. How many have heard it and felt discouraged by it? Like, Lord, I must not have enough faith, or I thought I at least believed that much. I'm assuming all of you. Okay. So I think sometimes we read scripture on surface level because it's pretty clear. Have faith the size of the mustard seed. If you have faith that much, You can say to this mountain and it'll move. But a lot of times, scripture means something so much deeper if we actually take the time to dig and to study. The mustard seed, for instance. But I'm going to teach you that in a minute, but what does this have to do with mothers? I told you I have three mothers in here. Well, motherhood, and honestly, womanhood in general, often live in repetition and consistency. This might look like doing laundry, cooking meals, prayers, car rides, caregiving, carrying homes spiritually, a full-time job, the grocery getter, being the ones that catches the tears, and the list could go on and on and on. And after a while, if you're not careful, that consistency can start to feel invisible. So we got to get you to feel seen again. And I hope by the end of this message, you'll be able to take those steps forward. So back to the scripture. So if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move, and it will be moved. Well, we have something here. The thing about it is a lot of people look at this and they think it's a magical moment that I can point and it will disappear, that I can wiggle my nose, that it's one altar call. It's one emotional moment that I have with the Lord. It's one breakthrough that I have. It's one really just spectacular moment, and then the mountain moves. But really, that's not actually the case. It does sometimes. The Lord sometimes will work a miracle on your behalf. Sometimes the Lord will do something for you that no therapist could have done in 20 years. But that doesn't always happen that way. And I think a lot of people get tripped up because they're hanging on that scripture of, but Lord, I do have faith. And the mountain is still there. Lord, I do have faith, and I am believing, and these things continue to happen. And if we actually know the context of what that scripture means, then I believe it changes your whole perspective. Because the thing is, in the New Testament, the people that were listening to Jesus talk knew something culturally that we don't know. Because they knew back in those days that mustard seeds and mustard plants were known to grow on the limestone mountains. And what you don't know about that is that mustard seeds literally thrive, not survive. Mustard seeds literally thrive on limestone. So what that means is when a mustard seed is planted on a mountain, day by day, week by week, consistently, every second of every day, that mustard seed is doing what it was created to do, and it's consistently pulling the lime out of the limestone rocks of the mountains. It's not about the size. It's about what that little bitty thing can do. Are y'all following me? Little by little, day after day, until eventually the rock becomes weak. Until eventually it becomes brittle and it begins to break from the inside out. You can't actually feed mustard seeds enough lime because it will devour it. And over in the Middle East today, Lebanon, Syria, Upper Israel, Jordan, if you were to go over there right now and look around, you would see all these things that used to be mountains, but that are nothing but rubble of rock and broken pieces. That's actually what the mustard seed does. That should give you faith this morning. That it's not about the size. It's about the consistency. The thing about mothers is mothers understand consistency better than almost anyone, because so much of what mothers do is built-in unseen repetition. So what about that mountain, though? It didn't move because something dramatic happened in one moment. It didn't move because I said the right prayer and the Lord said, granted. It didn't move because today was the lucky day that on this particular day, this was going to happen. It happened because over time, the mountain continued to stay consistent. Mustard seed wasn't large. This wasn't a large tool that can fix your issue. The mustard seed, as you see, is very, very, very tiny. But the mustard seed being consistent over time actually broke the mountain from the inside out. It kept doing what it was created to do. It kept pulling at the lime in the mountains until there was no mountain left. It wasn't flashy, but the mustard seed was faithful. And some of you have been measuring your faith by how emotional you feel. Some of you feel unnoticed because nobody celebrates your daily consistency. But what I want you to know this morning is heaven has seen every prayer. Heaven has seen every tear, every sacrifice, every seed, every act of obedience that nobody else noticed. And the Lord knew that there were going to be times that you were going to be discouraged. And he put it in the word. In Galatians 6, verse 9, he said, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap. If that is very large. We will reap if we do not grow weary. Don't lose heart. Life is hard right now, and it's okay. I don't know why those things are so big, but it's okay. So the name of this message, if you're taking notes, because when I start hitting these, you're going to be like, what does this mean? The name of this message is consistency in the process. So what is consistency? Consistency means acting in a stable, reliable, uniform way over time, doing the same things regularly, showing up. Persistence, on the other hand, which we're going to talk about on a later date, is continuing towards the goal despite obstacles. Why do I bring that up? Well, consistency shows up, but persistency gets back up. Persistency means nothing if consistency never started. But see, the limitation with consistency is when we're talking about this mustard seed and we're talking about being consistent, the problem with it is, do I have any consistent people in this life, this world that's got like a routine? Like my coworker back there will tell you, I have a routine. You can know where I eat every day, what I eat. I don't need to look at a menu. I do the same thing all the time. But the problem with consistency is if you're a strict, consistent person, if you ever break that routine, it's really hard to start back. You can be consistent, but without persistence, you will quit when a problem arises. And that's our focus today. I want to talk to you about the problems in our lives that keep us stuck from being consistent. And it's a process. So the question is, what is a process? This is a teaching this morning. I apologize, it's not a preach, but I think it's a good teaching for each of us. In the Bible, process refers to the deliberate, gradual, and often challenging journey that God uses to transform, refine, and mature believers, shifting focus from instant results to long-term spiritual growth. It is the divine method of sanctification, shaping character through trials and obedience. Process is not punishment, but it is development. Romans 5, 2 through 5 says, because of our faith, God has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with this love. But there's another spot where it talks to us about this. James 1, 2 through 4. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren. Oh, he's got it up there. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So the test of your faith produces patience. What does that mean? Well, I've said all of those things to get into this to tell you that God develops people in the process. But before we can move through the process, we have to identify areas that we're stuck. Because if we're stuck, we're never going to move. I think a lot of people find themselves stuck because they've been convincing themselves that they're free. They've settled into, this is good enough. They've settled into, I don't want to hurt anymore, so I think I have just enough. Y'all heard it a few weeks ago when Pastor Angela preached about the bondage, and I had handcuffs on my hands. And Jeremiah busted them off my hands. He acted like he was Jesus. He came and broke the bondage off, and I had one left, and I said, but I'll hold on to this one. Because this one, you have too much going on. This one's going to hurt too much for you to deal with, and it's really not keeping me from doing my everyday life, so I'm going to hold on to this here bondage. You can have the rest, but that keeps you stuck. Another thing is they've adapted to their dysfunction. We've came adapted to the bondage around us. We've decorated our wilderness, so to speak. A lot of people have gotten so comfortable that they've literally put pictures on the wall and said, this is my new reality, let me stay here. But the problem is God never intended for you to stay there. God never intended for you to stay stuck in the middle of something, because if he has a beginning, he has an end. But a lot of us will get in the middle and then we get deep. Because the thing is when you're swimming, when you're going to swim across something, maybe across a lake, it does start shallow. But to get to the other side, you have to go deep. It's going to get very deep, and you're not even going to be able to touch, because you have to rely on the Lord to help you. But then it gets back shallow when you're coming out, because there is a process. But a lot of us get stuck in the middle of it because we don't like how it makes us uncomfortable. Sometimes women, if we're referring to mothers, become so busy surviving for everybody else that they stop believing that freedom is possible for themselves. Deuteronomy 1:6. The Israelites had this issue, by the way. And I'm going to read the second portion of it, but he says, you stayed on this mountain long enough. This is not a new issue. This is an issue that dates all the way back from the beginning, that people get stuck in cycles. They get stuck in their comfort. They get stuck in what's going on, and they just want to sit right there. And the Lord said, you've been sitting on this mountain long enough. Some of us have normalized places that God never intended for us to live in permanently. Some of us have pulled up a cot, made a bed, and said, this is where I will stay because I'm done. But you're not even happy. You don't have any joy. You're missing out on all the beautiful things that the Lord has for you because it got hard. But nothing worth having is easy, or what I've learned. What does this look like? There's an example of this in the Bible. There's 100,000 examples. I just pulled one out to show y'all because this is the perfect example. And I said it goes back all the way from the beginning. But the Israelites. If you were to go read Numbers 14, it's going to tell you all about it. I don't have time to point that out. But the Israelites were the world's worst complainers you have ever met in your whole entire life. They were literally in bondage in this horrible place, and the Lord said, go rescue them. And they got rescued out of Egypt. And they said, I have a land. The Lord said, I have a land of milk and honey, and I'm going to give it to you. You just got to go through this process to get there. Because sometimes things aren't easy. Because what I have learned in my own life, I grew up with a lot of easy. Now, none of y'all have ever actually heard my full testimony, but I've grew up in a whole lot of easy. I grew up in a whole lot of giving it to me. I grew up in a family that money wasn't an issue. Now, love was different, but money wasn't. I wanted a brand new car, I'd get a check wrote for me. I wanted to go on a vacation, they just paid for it. Money was never a thing for me, but what I realized is I never cared about any of it because it was just handed to me. I didn't have to work for it. There was no process in it. So there becomes a difference when you don't care about it, because it was almost like an enabling. I was enabled in such a way that even if it was something great, it didn't mean nothing because I didn't know what it took to get it. I didn't know how hard I had to work to have it. It was just, here you go. And I think that's a lot of times that what we feel like, this God is like an Aladdin, like you just rub the little genie bottle and he pops out and gives you whatever. But a lot of times he's like, I want you to appreciate what I'm doing for you and stop taking me for granted. And so that's what the Israelites were in. The Israelites was expecting this, oh, I've been saved and delivered, so just get me there. And the Lord's like, no, because you got some junk in you from where you've been. And I want to get that junk out of you. But in order to do that, I have to walk you through a process. So what happens? Well, everything's great, Trey, for like a week. This is my paraphrase. It may not be a week, but it's great for a week. And then the Israelites are grumbling because it's hot and they're tired and they don't have the food. At least they had food in Egypt that they liked, and they don't have this and a soft bed to sleep in. And so then they start worshiping other idols. Now the Lord's done rescued them, but now they're like worshiping other idols, doing their own thing. Then something bad happens. Read Exodus, you'll learn all about it. It's whiplash. And then they're like, Lord, I'm so sorry, please, we need you. And then they're doing good for a week. And then whiplash again because something didn't go the way they wanted. So what was supposed to be a short journey ended up being a 40-year wilderness because they were not consistent in their obedience. They were not consistent in what the Lord had called them from, because the Lord was trying to teach them something through the process. He was trying to teach them that, hey, I'm with you. I'm walking through. How do I know that? Well, the Israelites witnessed miracles upon miracles upon miracles. The Israelites saw the Red Sea parted. They saw manna fall from heaven, which is food, by the way. They saw food fall from heaven. They saw water come from rocks. They saw so many things. But my favorite scripture, because this jumped out at me several years ago praying, is one of those that still blows me away. It's in Nehemiah. If you've never read Nehemiah, you should. But Nehemiah 9:21, they're talking about all the things the Lord did, and they're repenting for their sins and all the things, and they're like, but indeed, 40 years, they're talking about what God did. You provided for them in the wilderness, and they were not in want. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet swell. And if you read it in the NASB 1995 version, the newer version, it says that they were lacking nothing. So that means even in the midst of their process, even in the midst of when they were stuck and they felt like, I'm not ever going to get out of this, the Lord still provided the whole way. He was still with them the whole time. And I don't know if you know that that's a miracle, but I don't have any clothes that last me for 40 years that don't wear out. My T-shirt is wore out after 3 months, but for 40 years, their clothes didn't wear out. Their feet didn't swell. He poured out food from heaven, and he took care of them for 40 years straight. The Israelites saw every bit of this, but they still was in so much doubt and wavered back and forth, very much like James says, that it's a double mind. Somebody that swims from side to side, it should expect, it didn't say will or maybe, it said should expect to receive nothing from the Lord because you're double-minded. That's what the Israelites were. And so they were stuck in this process for 40 years to the point that they didn't even receive the promised land. He said, you will die in this generation, in this land. Your generation will not go on to the promised land. They lacked consistency and trust. They complained and they grumbled every time it got hard. They weren't lost, but they were stuck. See, the thing was that God was still with them the whole time. And even if you're stuck, God is still with you. But the thing that I want you to know is that you're not stuck because God stopped moving. Very much like the scripture. God was with the Israelites the whole time. God never stopped moving. But sometimes we got stuck because somewhere along the way we stopped obeying. Sometimes we get stuck, not always out of rebellion. But sometimes we get stuck just out of exhaustion. Sometimes we get stuck just because disappointment happens. And people are people and they let you down. Sometimes we get stuck because we're in survival mode. I am the biggest survivalist. Any independent people in this place? I don't need you. I got it. I can handle it. I will take care of this. You will probably hurt me, so let me just do it. That's survival mode. And so it keeps us stuck. And I don't know about you, but I'm not trying to be walking stuck because I want to walk in all the stuff that the Lord has for me. But here's the other part of that. Sorry, water. This is water, y'all. But don't worry, it's the water that nobody will steal from me so I can put it in the refrigerator because none of y'all want it. It's that good old club soda carbonated water. Anyways, so the dangers, though, that comes with this, because you don't get stuck unless you pause. And some people say, well, I'm tired. Okay, well, I have a full plate. My plate normally overflows, and I know what it's, I mean, a lot of people in this church that serve know this. They know what it's like to be tired. They know what it's like to for their candle to be burnt on both ends. They know what it's like to when they just need a break. But there's a danger in the pause, not necessarily because it's bad, because sometimes people think, well, I'm tired. I need a break. I just got hard. You know, just give me a week. I've tried to quit before in things. Pastor Angela looked at me and said, I'll give you 15 minutes. And she said, that's it. Done. So I know what it's like. But many people pause, and this is like for you to ask yourself, but many people pause because they didn't see the results fast enough. Many people pause because they don't know the outcome, the fear of the unknown. Well, I don't know what the Lord's going to do, but I probably have a better way, so I'm just going to pause here for a minute and see if I can figure it out. Many people pause because they get uncomfortable or because they get discouraged. And eventually, they just stop showing up altogether. Let me explain this. So I've had 4 knee surgeries with the military. And I know all about physical therapy. But let's just say that I have knee surgery right now. I officially lose all range of motion in my leg. I have none. So when I'm at the hospital, they hand over whoever's with me this little script. And it says, you have been prescribed physical therapy, and you should probably start immediately. And so you go to physical therapy, first couple of days, not too bad, because they're taking it easy on you, right? It's manageable. And like, it gets painful, though, and not because the therapist hates you, But because healing requires movement. But when you stop going, because there are days that you're like, I can't walk, and I just need a day to chill out. So I'm not going to go today, but I'll go tomorrow. But then you wait one more day because you're like, well, I'm actually going to wait one more day just because I'm feeling really good. And then you're like, okay, I should probably go because it's hurting again. Well, the problem is, you know how when you sin and you ask for forgiveness, the Lord doesn't put you at the back of the line. He puts you back where you was. But the thing with this type of stuff on the process, when you get stuck, when you stop at something that you're supposed to do, you don't go back to where you were. Because now the therapist has to work twice as hard to get you back to where you should be so that you can continue to get the range of motion back because you're actually hurting yourself in the process. Well, the problem with that is eventually, because it continues to get tighter, it continues to get harder, it continues to get more painful, eventually many people just quit entirely because inconsistency makes the process feel impossible. Because you're sitting at home, you've already quit too many times, and you know in the back of your mind, you're like, man, this is going to kill me. This is going to hurt so bad. You know, I'm just not going to go. I can feel pain at home. Well, what happens then, 6 months, a year down the road, your leg doesn't bend like it's supposed to. You're limited. You're not actually getting the full capability out of what you should be getting because you stopped in the middle of a process. And spiritually, many believers, myself included, we do the same thing. We stop with prayer. We get stuck in obedience. We stop when it comes to surrender. I will give you all of this, but you are not going to touch this. And it gets discouraging and it gets hard. And I believe that the Word has tried to tell us this because things are going to happen and things are going to come. But if you push through those hard things, if you don't stop, if you don't pause, if you continue to be consistent like the mustard seed and you continue every day to do what you're supposed to do, then I believe that even if it gets hard, even if you go through trials and tribulations, the Lord is going to be with you. He tells us that in Isaiah 40, verse 31. He says, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. With the Lord beside you, there's nothing that you cannot do. But when you stop, you get stuck. But if you stay consistent, if you keep showing up, the thing is that if you continue to do actually what you're supposed to do and what you're called to do, if you continue to push through the hard moments, even when you have blood, sweat, and tears, and everything in you is against it, one day you're going to look up and realize that the mountain that you thought was there had actually already went away. I believe that. And the Lord has stepped on my toes with this. This is not a long message, y'all, but the Lord has stepped on my toes with this because he's asked me. I'm terrible with this thing. Y'all should know this. But he has asked me numerous times, where have I quit being consistent? Where have I stopped and said, this is too hard. I'm just done. I give up. I've done all I know to do. Nothing's getting better. I'm just done. He started with me. And I felt like this was important for us because I feel like the thing is in this world around us, it's easy to be inconsistent. So this morning, I'm not asking you, how strong are you? I'm asking you to ask yourselves, where did you stop? Because some of us stopped praying consistently. Some of us stopped being consistent. Some of us stopped believing consistently. Some of us stopped healing because we didn't believe in it anymore, because it didn't work out the way that we thought it was supposed to, because they didn't heal my friend the way that I thought they were supposed to be healing them, so I don't believe in healing anymore. And now we wonder why we find ourselves stuck. The thing is, it happens more than you think with the world around us, the things in our lives, the situations that we can't control, the issues that seem like they have been going on forever and ever and haven't been answered. Sometimes we find that it's easier just to settle in and say, okay, it's just good enough, than to push through with the perseverance and the strength of the Lord. And I think, though, a lot of times what the problem actually is our eyes. Because the problem, for me anyways, let's just talk about me. The problem is sometimes when I'm in the middle of that, I tend to do this instead of doing this. That about blinded me. And so I'm looking at all the stuff around me, very much like Peter that got out of the boat. He was looking at Jesus. But then he took his eyes off of him and started looking at the waves around him, which started to cause him to sink. And I think a lot of times the reason we get stuck is not because the Lord wasn't there. But I wasn't actually saying, okay, Lord, you're going to have to help me through this because I can't do this on my own anymore and I need your help. Instead, I was looking around at all the things that haven't been fixed yet. I was looking around at all. I have prayers, y'all, that I have been standing on for a long time that have not been answered. And I could get emotional and feel all the things and think the Lord must not love me. Or I can continue to stay consistent with, I know that the Lord has promised me something. And so I know that I'm going to remain consistent like the mustard seed. And I'm going to continue to do what he's called me to do. And over time, he's going to walk me through that process. And there is going to be an end. And there is going to be an answer. So I think a lot of times we get stuck because our eyes are shifting back and forth. We've went away from the thing that we love the most. Because the thing is, it's actually, whether we know it or not, when we're looking around, it's actually idolatry. If we just want to get down to the bare bones of it. We have took our eyes off of him, and we now care about other things around us more than we care about him. Revelation 2:4, he's talking to the churches at the end times, and he's telling them, hey, you've done all these things great, but I find this against you. And this one is the one that always rips my heart out. Because this particular church, he said, you've done all these things, but I have this one thing against you, that you have left your first love. When we're stuck, it's because our eyes are no longer on him. Because you really can't stay stuck if you're connected. It might hurt. It might be hard. I'm not talking about it could be a long process. But you really can't be stuck if your eyes are where they're supposed to be, and if he's leading and guiding your every step. Take your spouse, for instance. I've never been married, but I will be married sooner than later, in Jesus' name. But if Miss Tammy and Mr. Bradley got married, and they talked and did all the things all the time, and y'all love each other, and we know that, but then let's say maybe Miss Tammy decides, I'm only going to talk to Mr. Bradley once a week because all these other things are so much more important. And so, like, I love you, Mr. Bradley, but I got to go do this with my friends, and I got to go do this for myself, and I got to go do this because I got to get a massage, and I got to go eat, and I got to go hang out, and I got to go shop, and I'm going to talk to you later, honey, but, you know, this is what I got to do. And then you hug him once a week. I assure you, it's not going to be long that Mr. Bradley is going to feel like he's not loved. Mr. Bradley is going to feel like there are more things important to Miss Tammy than him. And what happens then they're going to start having problems in their marriage. And then have you ever stopped communicating with people? Like, I mean, no communication at all. Ghosted them is what Angel said. You just ghost them. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to go back and you want to start talking again? It's the most awkward thing in the whole entire world. You're just like, what do you even say? But you got people that are working on their marriage, and they're like, hey, I want to work through this. And so guess what? To get unstuck, it means you sit there until you learn how to talk. You sit there until you learn how to talk and communicate and work through things. Otherwise, you're going to stay stuck because a lot of people had rather quit. So if you're sick of circling this mountain over and over and over again, then this morning I want you to take an honest inventory of yourself. I told you it was a really short message. As the worship team comes up, I want y'all to think about these questions. Angel, you can hit those lights. I have 8 questions for you to think about. Just think about these to yourself. Have you spent so much time taking care of everyone else that you stopped allowing God to take care of you? Have you mistaken survival for peace? Are you nurturing everyone else while neglecting your own soul? Have you become faithful to routine but disconnected from intimacy with God? What part of you needs healing that you keep pushing aside because everyone else needs you? Have you become comfortable in a place that God only meant for you to pass through? Are you waiting on God, or is God waiting on you? Where have you settled for good enough when God has promised more? And maybe you think, I'm not stuck. So I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to ask yourself, if there has been an issue, one root, two roots, seven roots, six things that come up for you over and over and over and over and over this past year, mountains, that everything always seems to come back to, ask yourself if there is that. If there's a yes, then ask yourself, was it there in 2 years? Maybe 3 years. Maybe it's been there so long you can't actually remember how long it's been there. If the answer was yes to any of them, even if it was 1 year, you're not delayed. You're probably stuck. And hear me clearly, this message is not about shame, not trying to make you feel bad about it. It's really about alignment. Because consistency doesn't begin with discipline. Consistency begins with repentance. In Revelation, where it says, the thing I have against you is that you have left your first love. The next few lines, he says, so repent. And that means to bring the things before him and say, Lord, I'm sorry that this thing became more idolistic in my life than you were. Lord, I'm sorry that this thing took more of a priority in my life than you have. Lord, I'm sorry that this thing has caused me so much sleep and worry and turmoil because I couldn't trust you with it. Lord, I'm sorry that this thing has continued to be the thing that consumes me rather than you. Whatever that is. Because some people get stuck because of pride. We put our hands in our pocket and no way, I'm not doing it. Some people get stuck because of fear. Some people get stuck because of old wounds. I've been stuck because of old wounds because I wasn't going to let anybody hurt me the way that I've been hurt before. Some people get stuck because of disobedience. And a lot of times, some people get stuck because they believe that they're not worthy of it. But this morning can be the morning that movement begins again. Philippians 1:6 tells us, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. He who began a good work in you will complete it. God did not bring you this far to leave you stuck in the middle. You're not stuck because the mountain won't move. You're stuck because your consistency stopped. You're stuck because your believer quit believing. Some of you never stopped showing up for everybody else. You just stopped tending to yourself. But this morning, I believe that God wants to restore the parts of you that got lost in the process of you carrying everyone else. This isn't something that we can lay hands on you for. I can't lay hands on you and ask you to be consistent again. I can't lay hands on you and say, Lord, help them to move again. It has to be something on the inside of you that realizes that God would never bring you halfway to lead you there. But I think that this is important this morning. I think that it was for this house, as well as where I'm going, which was, it's a lot deeper and more different, but I think that the point is that people need to realize that the Lord has made us and made everything so logically perfect that we have the ability on the inside of us, teamed up with the Holy Spirit, that there's nothing we can't make it through. I know a lot of moms that are tired. I know a lot of moms that have been striving. I know a lot of moms that have been trying to do things on their own because they need to try to do what they can do for everybody else, but then they get put on the back burner. But that's not what the Lord created you for. you continue to show up every day like the mustard seed and you do what you were created to do, it can't help but move. The mountain can't help but disappear. The mountain can't help but move out of the way because you have in you equipped what you need to make the mountain move. So Angel's going to sing this morning. The altars are open. Pastor Marty and Pastor Angela are here if you need prayer. Carla's here. She's with the prayer team if you need prayer in general. But I want to give you all an opportunity if you want to. If there's an area that the Lord is like, this is an area I'm stuck in, I want to give you an opportunity to come and talk to the Lord about it. Go ahead, Angela.
Thanks for joining us today at Summer Restoration Church. Stay encouraged, stay connected, and let's keep climbing higher together. See you next time.